Okay, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We're in a small series that we're entitled Made to Know. And that is that God has a desire to show you what His will is for your life, and that we are made to know that. And then in the mornings, we're looking at Made to Count, to understand how God has created me and plans He has for me. And so we're trying to tie all these together. In this series, in fact, on Sunday morning, not this Sunday, but the past Sunday, we talked about how does God reveal His will to you? What are the ways that God reveals His will to you? And so just for a word of review, let's just look at those four things as to how God reveals His will for you. You got those, Brian, at the same time? Okay. First of all is the confirmation of Scripture. Remember we talked about the way God reveals His will to us? He confirms it in Scripture. And so it's a confirmation of Scripture. Second of all is the conviction on the inside. That when we begin to try to move forward in something, that that God will convict us on the inside through His Holy Spirit. There's that, it's almost that unity with Him, that understanding that this is what I need to do. Then third of all, there's circumstances on the outside. And that's when things began to come together. And when I began to see those circumstances and tie in with the others, then it looks like that there's a leading in this direction. And then last of all is the counsel of others. And that's where we go and we sit down with others, people that we respect, people in spiritual authority, other believers, and talk to them. You put all those together, and God uses these to reveal His will to us. And we encourage you to try to use these to seek His will. But tonight, I want to talk about how God's guidance for tough decisions. And I understand that in life that you go through every day you have to make decisions. And probably every day you're praying for God's guidance on something. And I need your help in this. I look for some direction here. What do I do here? But in every one of our lives, there are those tough decisions. I mean, they're the ones that you're just not going to find maybe a verse to direct you there. There's not one that you can just take some circumstances and try to piece it together. Those are the ones that you can talk to some people and get counsel, but you talk to everyone, you take all what they have to say, but it's just a tough decision. And it's something that's probably going to take you some time. And most of those tough decisions are crossroads decisions. And as we talked about this morning, a lot of those crossroad decisions are those that decisions need to be made like right now. But there are those tough decisions, crossroad decisions, that you just can't make that in 24 hours. That's something that takes some time. And whether it be a direction in work, a direction in a relationship, I mean, they're all type of things. I mean, and I guess the age that I'm getting, and our family's not at that point, but so many of you about in my same age, the dealing with aging parents and some people having to make those difficult decisions about do we put them in assisted living or do they live with us, and they can't live at home by themselves now, so we have to come up with some decisions there. And then at the same time, we're called that sandwich generation, to where we're trying to take care of our teenagers and help get them directed. And so they're decisions like that. Decisions what we want to do in your job. For some, it's decision about a relationship, about is this the person that I marry or not. Now, for some, it's decision about a college. You know, do I go to college? And if I do, then what school is it? What major is it? Getting out of school, what job do I want to take? And sometimes there's some tough decisions that have a lot of variables to them. So how do you do that? How do you make that decision? How does God guide you to help you in making those decisions? Well, before we look at this passage, as we seek God's guidance for tough decisions, we need to answer two crucial questions, okay? Two crucial questions you need to answer. Number one, do I really want to discern God's will, or do I want to get His sanction for my own will? This is where you got to get honest. Do I really want to discern God's will, or do I want to get His sanction for my own will? You know, I've known some people that have gotten the counsel of others, and until they find the person that will give them the answer they want, they'll say, so what do you think this is? Okay, what do you think? Okay, that's good. What do you think? Okay, what do you think? That's exactly right. That's what I'm talking, baby. That's the one I'm looking for. I know you're not a Christian, but hey, I appreciate you telling me that. You know, you look for that person that was just directed exactly what you want. You got to be real straight and honest. Do I really want to discern God's will, or do I just want to get his sanction for my own will? And number two, have I got the courage to do God's will when I discern it? Have I got the courage to do God's will when I discern it? Because there will be, when you have some tough decisions and you seek God's face, there'll be times when God lays out his plan and says, this is what I want you to do. And you go, wow, I don't know. I don't know if I got the courage to do that or not. So ask those questions. Now, once you've got those two questions answered, then you're on good ground to get ready to discover God's will and his guidance for your tough decision. Now, there's a passage of scripture, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. And this is really just a theme verse for this passage. And I'll show you the reason I chose this. Verse 11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. And then verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And he says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, when you seek me with all your heart. Okay, folks, if you've got tough decision and you're looking for God's guidance on that, it's when we seek God with all our heart. This isn't just a passing fancy and I'll take a 10-minute quiet time. This is when I seek him with all my heart. So if I want to seek him with all my heart, what do I need to do? Here we go. Number one, God's guidance for tough decisions takes an extended time of prayer and fasting. God's guidance for tough decisions takes an extended time of prayer and fasting. Let's start with prayer. Prayer is the vehicle that takes us into the privilege of experiencing fellowship with God. It's when we explore a deeper and a more intimate relationship with him when we spend time in prayer. There's a statement that'll be on the screen that says, in prayer, we come to know the mind and heart of God so that he can tell us how to adjust our lives to him. Now, hold on to that and look at that. In prayer, we come to know the mind and the heart of God so that he can tell us how to adjust our lives to him. And so I'm wanting to understand the mind and heart of God for one purpose, and that is so I can adjust my life, and I want to adjust my life for him, and I want to live for him, and he's going to show with me, Danny, this is how you need to adjust your life. Now, fasting, on the other hand, is a choice to forego for a time something that is good and right so that our spiritual appetite for the things of God may be whetted. Okay? Fasting. Isn't that right? Got it there? Yeah. Choice to forego for a time something that's good and right so that our spiritual appetite for the things of God may be whetted. Now, hold on to that for just a moment. Prayer and fasting. Prayer, extended times of prayer. I would give you an idea here. If I was going to, if I had a tough decision and I was trying to get some understanding and some direction from God, I'd take extended time of prayer and I'd start me a prayer journal. Find you something, a notebook, pad of paper, do something, and begin to journal. Journal your prayers, write down what you're praying. As you're reading scripture and as you're praying and God begins to impress you on things, write those impressions, okay? And keep your prayer journal, because you'll be amazed how God will begin to speak to you. And one of the greatest things is after you've made that decision to go back over that journal and read through it. I got to be real honest with you. There are a number of times since I've made a decision to go in ministry that I've gone back over that journal that I kept to say, what did you tell me? And I read through that and it just invigorates me, because it's amazing the answers he gave and how he worked through that. So for extended prayer, start a journal. Write down prayers that you've prayed to God, your impressions of what God shared you with you from within and also with Scripture. But looking at just a moment for fasting. Fasting is really sort of a cutting out the competition so that we may more completely focus on who God is and on what he's saying to us. It's cutting out the competition so we can better focus on God for who he is and what he wants us to do. For those that are married, and you're watching TV and your wife comes in and she wants to talk to you and you still have the TV on, that's competition. Is that correct? All right? A bunch of guys with sore ribs right now. Oh, one just moved. No, I'm just kidding. And that's competition. So sometimes she'll say, if you'll turn the TV off, I need to talk to you. You ever had that? Either it's something real important or you're in trouble, right? So you turn the TV off. And the reason you turn TV off is because that's competition. It's competing in my focus. So what fasting is cutting out the competition. Cutting out those things that are competing with your time of spending with God, hearing from God, and speaking to God. So it's a personal choice. And it's usually motivated by a desire that God would change my heart. So by abstaining from food or an activity, you give your mind and your flesh notice of your intent to focus completely on the Savior. You set aside your pleasures to please the Lord. It's a self-denial that opens yourself up to God. So what are biblical examples of this? Let me just cover a couple of them here. Biblical examples. First of all, Esther. Did y'all study her this morning? All right, that's great. See, I know who goes to Sunday school. See, I watched the ones that nodded. For those that are going, Esther, who's that? Ah, you weren't here this morning. But Esther, we had her in Sunday school. And you remember the climax of that book is when she is, Mordecai talks to her and says, you know, you need to go and talk to the king because the whole nation is right there in the balance. And so what she said is that she said that she would, and she encouraged all the other people, all the Jews there, to fast for 3 days. And they would fast for 3 days before she went to the king to make her request of the king. And she had this plan to uncover the plot that Haman had. And she says, it's dangerous. If I walk into the king and he doesn't like it, he can take my life. So he said, let's fast. Let's pray and fast during these days. 3-day fast she did there. Ezra. Ezra's another Bible character. As they were getting ready to journey back to Jerusalem, and they're coming out of captivity to go back to Jerusalem, he told all the people, let's fast. And he said, let's pray, let's fast for 3 days so that God will give us safety for our journey to Jerusalem. Nehemiah prayed and fasted for about 4 months. And before he asked the king about reversing his policy on rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. And he had such a burden for Jerusalem. And when he got word back that all the walls were destroyed and the people were down, and he says, somebody's got to get rid of that rubble and got to build those walls. And so he was getting ready to put his life on the line. But you're talking about a tough boss. For his boss, if you walked into the presence of his boss and you had a sad look on your face, he could kill you right there. So you don't go in looking sad with him. He wants happy people around him. And so Nehemiah walked in and he had that sad look going for him. And by the grace of God, the boss asked him, he said, apparently you're upset about something. Can you explain what it is? And he told him. And he ended up getting permission to not only travel, but the king gave him all the resources he needed to go rebuild those walls. But he prayed and fasted for about 4 months. Jesus fasted for 40 days right at the beginning of his ministry. The apostles, what they did was they prayed for 10 days before Pentecost, before the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so they prayed during that time, an extended time of prayer. And he said, stay right here in Jerusalem and pray until the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we have biblical examples of people that were praying and people that were fasting during times where they had some tough decisions that needed to be made. And whether it's to go back to rebuild walls or to walk in and talk to the king, it was a tough call. Now, I want to encourage you that if there is a decision that you have coming up that is a difficult decision, that you may talk to counsel and you may be getting different ideas from people. It seems like that as you look at Scripture, you just can't get a real understanding here. There's a conviction within, but you don't know if the circumstances are all working out there. And you say, God, I'm just not certain. I want to strongly recommend that you do both prayer and do fasting. Now, when you fast, there are a lot of different ways to do that. Some you may choose to say, you know what? I want to fast for a day. And you can do what's called like a sun up to sundown fast. And pick one day of the week and just fast for that. You get up that morning and just kind of drink you some water and some juice or whatever, and then just go all the way through the day without eating solid food. Now, drink liquids. That's okay. Drink your liquids. And then when you come down to dinner, pig out. No, when you come down to dinner, then you can eat a meal. You say, well, so what am I doing by just giving that food? You're giving that food up, and then you're focusing on praying to God. And during that lunch hour, instead of going out to eat something, open up Scripture and pray to Him. Maybe do that for one day. Maybe do a 3-day fast. You could even do a 5-day or 1-week fast, whatever it would take. I encourage you to do that. And if you want to go the full route and go 40 days, make sure you get medical clearance before you do that. And when I did that 40-day fast here, Sidney Gibbs was so worried about me. Many of y'all know Dr. Gibbs. And he said, "I don't know, Danny, I'm kind of worried about you." And he said, "I'm going to be watching you." And sure enough, every Sunday I walked in, he was grabbing my face. He was looking at me. He says, "Yeah, your color's good. Yeah, your skin tone's good." He's poking at me here and there. And I said, "I'm okay." He says, "Yeah, you're doing fine." But he was concerned. It was one of the greatest experiences that I ever went through. And then we came back and did a 30-day at another time. And there are different people in this church that have done different size fasts. And it's nothing magical about doing a fast. It is that if God places on your heart that you have a difficult decision to make and you can't get a peace on that, then tell the Lord, "I want to cut out some of the competition because I'm just not hearing you clearly." And that may be, whether it be food, for some people it's a media fast, and to say, "I'm just not going to watch television for a long time." For some, it may be just giving up something that you enjoyed. It may be surfing the internet and say, "Hey, I'm just not going to do that. That just takes up hours of my time, and I'm going to focus on you." Giving up some hobby. It's something that you cut out, competition, and then you focus on the Lord, okay? Prayer and fasting are important, okay? Now, you do that, And that's a great step towards getting God's guidance on there. Number two, God uses this time of prayer and fasting to prepare me for His answer. He uses this time to prepare me for His answer. Now, what is so interesting is that when you do an extended time of prayer and fasting, you're not trying to change God's mind on something. What you're trying to do is get your life prepared to hear His answer. Because God has got a direction He wants you to take, and sometimes I believe that God doesn't disclose it to us because we're not ready for the answer. Because if He told us what it was, we go, "Wow, I can't do this." But when I spend time, extended time in prayer and fasting, then all of a sudden, I begin to rearrange my life. There's a statement that'll be here. It says, "God desires to rearrange my life in accordance with His plan so that He can more perfectly express His love to me and then through me to others." He wants to rearrange that plan so He can perfectly express His love to me. When I begin to take extended time to know the heart of God, He begins to change my heart so that I can accept His will. Now, Henry Blackaby told a story. He said he had one of his sons that was in rebellion. Henry Blackaby, it's like Moses himself, right? You know, he said, "I had a son that was in rebellion and I didn't know what to do. So I prayed for that son." And he said, "The more I prayed for the son, I finally got to the point where I began to listen to God. And you know what God told me? He says, 'Henry, you got to change.'" And he says, "God began to show some things to me that I needed to change that would be best for my family. So I made some changes." And he said, "And what I did was I began to come home earlier. So I was there before my son got home. And so when my son came home, it was just my presence to be there. I didn't pressure him. I didn't push him. I was just there." He said, "And an amazing transformation began to take place in our home." And then he gives a little byline to that. He says, "And today my son's in the ministry." And he said, "What God did was God, as I was praying for this, God began to show me something that I needed to make some changes in my own life." And so here's what you want to do. You want to ask with confidence that God will align my desires with His purposes and His will. If I've got a tough decision, "Lord, I want my desires to be aligned with Your purposes and will. So where it's so clear that when You show me what Your will is, my desire is right there and I'm all over it. I'm ready. I'm ready to run forward with that." Now, this is what three things that you can ask for there. Number one, convict me of personal sin. When you spend time prayer and fasting, there's some personal sin. Maybe that's blocking the answer. Maybe there's some things in your life that just are not right. And God will convict you of that. And all of a sudden, this comes out and says, "Wow, Lord, I've just been glossing over that." Number two, change my perspective. See life from an eternal standpoint. See life from an eternal standpoint. Change my perspective, Lord. And number three is adjust my priorities. I think we put Matthew 6:33 up there. Did I have that? Okay, Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Adjust my priorities. Now, these are three things that when you're looking for a tough decision, trying to get God's guidance on there, if you'll keep in mind these three things, and this is if you can pray, Lord, convict me of any personal sin. Lord, help me to change my perspective, see things from an eternal standpoint, and Lord, adjust my priorities on there. Now, I got to tell you, when I was praying about going into ministry, I had to change my view of possessions. I had to change my perspective of life. Because what was holding me back so much was, hey, you know, I've got a good job and I can see the progression that I could make. And you go in the ministry and there's no guarantees as to what's going to be out there. And so I was real concerned about that. And I just wrote a note down here. My purpose was not to achieve comfortable status. My purpose is to glorify God and to rearrange my life in accordance with His plans so that He can more perfectly express His love to me. And so I realized that sacrifice is a part of His plan. And so I had to increase my level of trust. And these are things that God had to work with on me. He says, Dan, you got to change your perspective on possessions. And you need to learn how to be willing to sacrifice. And you got to learn how to trust me. And He had to work me through that. And the greatest way He did that was... when I was thinking about if I was trying to make that decision, and I took a trip out to Southwestern Seminary, and go out to Southwestern Seminary, and I spend a couple days out there, and there was some people that were there that had been in our church, and you remember Trudy, Kathy, remember the Kathys over there. Trudy and her husband were out there, and they were in seminary. And so that was a little bit of a surprise to me because he had gotten a job working with Chick-fil-A. And that's a real surprise with her being the daughter of Truett Cathy. And after he got that job, he had a pretty good job in the financial area. And he ended up, they felt like God was calling them to missions. I think at that time they may have had two kids and one on the way. So they either had two or three small children. And they were getting ready to go to Brazil, and he was going to be the business manager there with the International Mission Board there in Brazil. And here I spent 2 days at Southwestern, and they were going to drive me to the airport. So I went into their little bitty married student's apartment type thing, and I'm sitting there, and I said, let me ask this question. I said, how did you ever overcome the possessions thing, you know, of kind of giving up, you know, money and things to go out here to seminary and live like paupers over here. How'd you do that? He looked at me and then he hesitated. He said, we never really considered that. I said, oh, really? He said, no. He said, you know, once you understood what God's call was, I didn't even think about it. That wasn't even part of the equation. Well, I felt about this tall. I said, you know, what I was making at the phone company, he could probably write a check off his account for what I was making at the phone company. And here I'm thinking, I've got all this money that I'm making. His future with Chick-fil-A was a whole lot bigger than what mine ever was, even with the phone company. And I walked away from there, and I just thanked the Lord. And I said, God, I said, I feel about this small, but I thank you, because that's what it took to kind of knock me down, to begin to get my perspective straight on that. And that helped me. And from that moment forward, it was easier to make that decision. So God uses times of prayer and fasting to prepare you for the answer. And that's what you want to do. You want God to get your heart prepared for the answer that He has for you. Number three is I must do the knowns of God's will before He will reveal to me the unknowns of His will. I must do the knowns of God's will before He reveals to me the unknowns of His will. And we talked a little bit about this last Sunday night, Romans 12, 1 and 2, about offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. And in there, it says that that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, we are to transform our minds, and then God will reveal His perfect will to us. There has to be presentation, there has to be transformation, and then there's revelation. And so when I'm trying to determine what God's will is, the first thing that God will say to me is He'll say, Danny, what are the known things of my will? What's in my word that you know for certain is my will? Now, what I encourage you to do is to get a handle on the knowns of God's will and do those. Then God will begin to reveal the unknowns of his will. Does that make sense? Because if we're not even doing the knowns of his will, then why is he going to reveal the unknowns of our will? Because he says, you're probably not going to do that either. So let's do the things that we know. I could go off on a tangent and share with you a lot of them. I'm just going to share one thing with you tonight. Sunday night crowd. Love for someone to talk about tithing. Let me just share this for a moment. One of the knowns of God's will is tithing. Okay? We'll debate it. We'll argue it. Put Brian and I together. We'll take anybody on over here, right? Amen? We'll go with you. And it's God's will. Leviticus 27:30. Old Testament law. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It belongs to him. It's his. It's what we're to give to him. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the, not part, but the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, I look at that passage, and it's very clear to me that the first tenth of my income goes to the Lord's house. He even carries a promise and a blessing with that. He says, I will pour out blessings. Test me. And so, from an individual standpoint, that's one of the places I'd start and look. And you can hem-haw around it and say, well, I don't know, I don't think we should, or I don't think we can, and all that stuff. I'm telling you, it's one of the knowns of God's will. And I've been in ministry for almost 20 years now. I'm right up on the 20-year mark. And again, I say this all the time, never once has someone come to my office and said, can't believe you preached that tithing thing. I'm broke because of that. I've never had one person come to me and say, I'm bankrupt because of my tithing. I wish I'd never done that. But I have had countless people come into my office to say, praise God, I can't keep giving him enough. I give him 10%, he blesses me. I give him 12%, he blesses me. I give him 15%, he just keeps blessing me. This isn't a give-to-get thing. It's just I'm giving to God because I love him and I want to honor him and glorify him. And in God's amazing in that, how he provides for us. But that's part of the knowns. You know, we laugh because if we went around here and said, for our church, where would you like to see more money go to? Some of you would say missions. Some would say to the teenagers. Some would say to the children. Some would say to the senior adults. And, some would say recreation. Everybody's kind of got their own deal. Is it? We just need a little bit more money for this. Well, we really have all the resources we need just sitting right in our church. Because we have a $6.5 million budget. And I believe conservative figures, when you take the average income of the over-the-mountain areas and stuff, if we tithe, I think, Brian, probably about 12, 13 million or so, I know we've talked about, that's about $13 million. And we just got a $6.5 million budget. We could take care of that and plenty of other stuff. We could write a note to the International Mission Board and said, hey, give us 50-something missionaries or ever how many, and we'll just underwrite those right here through Shades Mountain Baptist Church. There's all kind of stuff we can do. It just comes back to being faithful and doing the knowns of God's will, and tithing is one thing about it. Our heart goes where our money goes. When you invest your money in the things of this world, your heart will be captured by this world. You put your money in the work of God, your heart will be captured by the things of God. So it's where you put your heart, where you put your money. Now, what God will do is he will try to make needed adjustments in our lives so that we're prepared to be able to understand the unknowns of his will. Okay? Do the knowns, then be prepared for the unknowns. God wants to make that adjustment in our life. Okay? Now, for me, when I tried to make the decision about going into ministry, one of the adjustments he had to make is I said, God, I will go to seminary, but I will never be a pastor. Okay? And he said, he laughed, and he said, oh, that's good. That's okay. And so I began to make that move. And I say, I'm going to major in communications, get a Master of Arts, and I'll be out in a year and a half, and life is good. And I spent about one semester in that, and I took a theology course. I said, I love this. So I had to go back to my wife, and I said, how does 3 years sound instead of a year and a half? And her response was, just get it done while you're out here, okay? I don't want us to kind of go somewhere else. Whoops, got to come back over here. Let's get it done. All right, so now we're going to do that. She says, does that mean you want to be a pastor? I said, no way, I don't want to be a pastor. I just want to get the theology degree. Then about a year and a half later, all of a sudden I'm circling back around. I'm saying, you know what? I kind of think God's called me to be a pastor. She agreed with it too. She says, I understand it. I believe that. Now, reason I tell you that is in 1983, if God had revealed to me, you're going to be a pastor, I would have never gone to seminary. I would have just said, I don't agree with that, and that's not what I want to do. But God took me where I was, made the adjustments along the way, and just kept on going with me. And so when we talk about praying and fasting and seeking God's will, and that we need to make the adjustments in our life so he can speak to us, as we make those adjustments, there'll be times when I think he'll just speak to us right at your level as to where you are and reveal that much to you. Okay, then you keep on moving forward. Keep making those adjustments, and God continue to speak to you and get you directed there. Last thing, you obey God's revealed will, and he'll accomplish his work through me. Obey God's revealed will, and he'll accomplish his work through me. Folks, this is what's exciting. Because when we talk about made to know, that we are made to know his will, that when you obey his revealed will, he will accomplish his work through you. Now see, to me, I think that juices me. To know that God will accomplish his will through you or through me as an individual. That he's got his will and it will go right through us to do this. Once he reveals his will, don't debate it. Don't hold off on it. You need to act on it. Take the step forward and allow him to accomplish his work through you. Remember one of those questions? The second question was, if he reveals his will to you, will you have enough courage to be able to step forward and do that? That's what you need to do. You need to don't debate it, but act on it. The biblical examples we gave, Esther. 3 days of prayer and fasting. At the end of the 3 days, what did she do? Did she raise her hand and say, let's go another week on this? No, she said, I'm going in. And she went right in and asked the king, and guess what? She saved the nation. Ezra. They did that 3 days of prayer and fasting. They continued on their journey, and they safely arrived, and they rebuilt the temple there in Jerusalem. How about Nehemiah? Prayed and fasted for 4 months. Once he felt he had the answer, he goes in before the king, makes his request. King grants the request, gives him all the building materials, and in about 52 days, he rebuilds the walls around Jerusalem. Incredible. Jesus, 40 days prayer and fasting. Soon as he finished that 40 days, boom, he's out on his ministry. Led his way to the cross and provided salvation for every one of us. The apostles, they waited on the Holy Spirit. They prayed for those 10 days. Guess what? Holy Spirit filled the room. They stepped out at Pentecost and they began to preach. 3,000 souls were saved. And these were the men that the Bible says turned the world upside down. Don't debate it. Act on it. Okay? Guidance for those tough decisions. Every one of us has those. Every one of us have those tough decisions. And I just pray you'll take this to heart. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. Do the extended times of prayer and fasting if need be. Keep a journal and begin to see how God makes those adjustments in your life so you can hear the answer that he has for you and he'll reveal his will to you. Okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Father, I thank you that you are a revealing God and it's not your desire to hide things from us. But Lord, I know that there are tough decisions that happen in life. And Father, I know there's some people here right now that are struggling with some difficult decisions, wanting to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what your will is for their life. And so, Lord, I pray tonight for those that are going through the struggle of tough decisions that they'll cut out the competition and have that time and that energy and that effort to hear you speak to them. And that their hearts will be prepared to be able to make the adjustments necessary so that you can reveal your will to them. And Lord, this is a prayer for every one of us because all of us will go through these type of decisions. May we remember the things that were taught here today and be able to make the adjustments so you can reveal your will to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.